Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, Responding to God's Call, and explores the lessons from Moses about laying down your resources for God's purposes. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
But what I learned was that when God started using me to speak, it wasn't me speaking. It's God speaking through his Word. And that the reason I love to preach rather than give a speech is when I'm preaching the word, I know God is using what he wants to get done in the lives of each one of you individually, even though it's different things that you're all hearing. Somebody will come up to me a week after I preach and say, love that sermon on forgiveness. Love that sermon on marriage. Love that sermon on singleness. Love that sermon on giving. Love. I don't remember saying any of those things. Who was that? That was the Holy Spirit through his word telling you what you needed to hear. Amen? I remember the first time I shared the gospel in this small little church where I was called, which is about 100 people big. We had 20 youth show up for our first meeting. Remember, I shared the gospel and several of them raised their hands to respond by repentance and faith. And I remember thinking, I don't even know if they heard me right, because why would they be responding? So I went back over it again because I wanted to make sure they really understood what it meant to repent and believe in Jesus. And then I watched God do that over and over and I realized it was just being faithful. That's what was doing it. And I still see those stories now. I was just at a wedding on Thursday night and know the bride and groom really well, know the father of the bride. And the father of the bride was telling me this story. It was so powerful, I made him tell my daughter later in the evening. He's 71 years old. He told this story. He said, Jeff, from the time I was six, he goes, I kind of accepted Jesus. I believed the truths about him. I've always carried my Bible. People have always made fun of me for being a Christian and all these different things. And I've done all the good stuff I'm supposed to do. 2 weeks ago, which had been 2 weeks ago today, he was watching online, listening to our online service, watching it on a screen while he was 12 foot up on a ladder. And he was complaining to God while I was preaching. And he was saying to himself, how come it is, God, that you never really answer the simplest prayer of mine, and I don't see you work like Pastor Jeff's talking, and none of these things seem to be happening in my life. And right as I was saying that to God, Jeff, here's what you said. You said, sometimes the hardest people to get saved are those who think they're saved who really aren't. And I heard a voice behind me. This is him talking. I was 12 foot up on a ladder. I heard a voice behind me coming through the pine trees saying his name and saying, that's because you've never been saved. He said, I about fell off my ladder. I got down off the ladder on my knees, repented and trusted Jesus. He goes, I've been saved for 12 days and it's awesome. Now, how's that work? That's not something I planned. That's not something I predicted. That's not something I wrote in the sermon. That's something that the Holy Spirit had for that man from eternity past. Amen. And God does all those different things to us to grow us. And when he grows us, he's not asking you to change your temperament and personality. Did you know that? You can't. Sometimes people think if I go all in with God, I've got to change everything about you. You can't. God made you just the way he made you. Psalm 139 says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You are knit together in your mother's womb. You can't change your temperament. You can't change your personality. What I find that God likes to do over time is sanctify it. But he uses all sorts of different things. I mean, we see the first story of David in one of his first victories of slaying Goliath. David says, well, that's no big deal. I've already slayed the lion and the bear. What's this Philistine doing here? Or what about Peter? All throughout the Gospels, all Peter ever did was talk and accomplish nothing except foolishness. And yet, when he was empowered by the authority of the Holy Spirit, he stood up and gave one message and 3,000 people came to Christ in a moment. Or what about the Apostle Paul that spent his life as a religious zealot studying the Hebrew scriptures and then got saved? Did God change his personality? No. He just became a religious zealot for the Lord Jesus Christ and a phenomenal apostle and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God doesn't change your personality. He doesn't change who you are. He wants you to be who you are. And this is a big deal because sometimes when you talk about laying your stuff down or coming to Christ or giving him your best, you falsely hear the devil say something like this. That means you got to become one of those weird Christian people. That means you got to become like them. That means you don't have to become like anybody else. You want Christ to fill you and be the fullness of who Christ is in your life. I argued with the Lord for a long time. I'm like, I do not have the pastor temperament. That's not who I am. I'm visionary. I'm directing. I'm bold with my words. That's who I am, God. I'm not sweet by nature. I'm not kind by nature. I'm not shepherdy by nature. That's not who I am. You got the wrong guy. But here's what I found. God doesn't care. All God wants to do in the process is have us be obedient and then sanctify that as we continue. Amen? You don't have to change who you are. God's just asking you to be you because he's the one that made you. He's the one that gave you your temperament. He's the one that gave you your personality. All he's asking is, will you let my authority and my power be what works through you? Amen? And one of the reasons that we have a hard time taking the next step is we want to do it under our power and our authority and accomplish our purposes with our decisions. And then we wonder why we're not seeing the power of God at work in our lives. All he's asking is this, will you lay it down? Will you lay it down? Will you let me empower what you have? Because when I supernaturally empower who you are, I can do far more than you ever dare dream or imagine according to the power that is at work within you. Amen? Responding to God's call requires trusting or faithing in his authority and power to accomplish his purposes. Number two is this, it's trusting his design and choice to empower you. Responding to God's call requires trusting his design and choice to empower you. Notice verse 10. Then Moses said to the Lord, you know, here's what he's saying. He's like, okay, I mean, you would think he's been talked to at the burning bush. He's been told he's the great, you know, that God's the great I am. He's been shown that his staff becomes a serpent. He's been shown a leprous hand that can be healed. He's shown that water can be turned to blood. And you'd think he'd be like, that's fine, but that's not what he says. He says, Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently or in time past, not since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Here's what he says. I know what you want to do. I agree that it needs to be done. But God, I want to tell you something. I'm not good at what you're asking me to do. That's not my skill set. That's not who I am. Now, what would you expect the next verse to be? And God said, I'm sorry, Moses. I guess I got the wrong guy. You think that's going to happen? I mean, we can debate with the Lord, but I think the Lord loves choosing the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He loves choosing those that when God shows up through them, whether it be David killing Goliath or Peter being the preacher or Paul being the apostle, he's picking people that are unlikely. You know why? Because we say it all the time. That's the only people he can pick. He's not calling you because you're qualified. He's going to qualify you because you're called. So he's telling him, so Moses says to him, it's not me, I'm slow of speech. Then the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go. Now you're going to see that word all over the place. Every time God commissions, even Jesus in the Great Commission, what's he say? Go. Just go. Quit dragging your feet. Quit thinking about what you don't have. Quit thinking about what you're not good at. Just go. So he says, go. And I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Hey, I made your mouth. I give you the thoughts. Don't even worry about it. Just go. I got you. Now, what do you think Moses is going to say now? He's ran out of excuses. I mean, come on. What if people don't listen to me? Told him what to do. What if they don't believe me? Told him what to do. What if I don't have the power? He showed him how to have it. Hey, but my voice isn't so good. I'll go with you. I'll empower it. I made your mouth. Don't worry. Just go. Then you think Moses would be like, all right, got it. Now I'm gonna go. That's not what he says. I love the humanity of the Bible. No human would write this book. But he said, this is Moses talking, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Translation, God, good luck with who you're gonna pick because it's not me. That's what he's saying. Do you realize even when we hear the Lord and even when we know what the Lord wants us to do and even when we're confirmed that he could do it through us, oftentimes we're like, yeah, but I just don't, it's not what's on my agenda. It's not what I want. That's not what I'm looking to. That's not how I saw my life playing out. I saw it going in a different direction. I don't think I'm qualified. He's still thinking about himself. He's not thinking about what God's gonna do. And notice what happened in verse 14. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. He ticked God off. I mean, God is patiently showing him what's going on. God has been waiting 40 years to deliver him to Midian and another 40 years to have this conversation with him. So for 80 years, he's been developing Moses for this specific task, spells it out in grand detail. And Moses is like, hey, good luck with your choice. And God's thinking, from eternity past, I picked you for this. This is all I have for you. God ordained all for you in eternity past. He gave you the time to live, according to Acts chapter 17. You're living in this moment because this is what God has for you. So God's angry with Moses now, but then he's still gracious because notice what he says. Is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. In other words, and we're gonna see this later when God provides resources, while God is talking to Moses, God is also calling his brother Aaron to be a part of this venture. God's always gonna provide what you need when you step out in faith. He's like, I already got the guy that's the good speaker, but I'm still gonna speak through you.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Responding to God's Call, exploring the lessons from Moses about laying down your resources for God's purposes. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. First, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is bravepastorjeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
But Aaron will help you. Verse 15, you are to speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God for him. What's he saying? He's like, I'm raising up a guy, your brother, who's been in Egypt, who's an elder for Israel. He'll have a relationship there. You tell him what I told you to say. I'll use his influence to grow, but people will see that you've spent time with me as your God. I'm gonna do this. Who's the one that accomplishes a call in a person's life? Is it you or is it God? Biblically, it's God. We write a lot of books about a lot of people that have done a lot of great things, but if there's anything that's supernatural and lasting, it's always God that's the one that gets glory for doing the work. It's always God that does this. It's always God the one that makes this happen. And what Moses is needing to learn is not only trust God's authority and power, but God's design and choice to empower you. I mean, Moses' thought is, I'm not your guy. I don't fit the mold. I'm a shepherd. I'm not a deliverer of people. And I'm kind of happy being a shepherd. And I don't really want to go back to Egypt. People there were seeking my life. That doesn't sound like fun. But God is the one who ordains what you're going to do before a day even comes to be. And you need to trust his design and his choice to empower you. He selected you. Now, what the enemy's going to tell you is, who do you think you are? You don't have what it takes. You're never gonna be able to accomplish any good thing for God. And here's why. And he'll go through a litany of things. He'll go through your sinful past. He'll go through the fact that you don't have the intelligence, or you don't have the background, or you don't have the education, or you don't have the people, or you don't have the people skills, or you don't really know what you're doing. And he will try to talk you out of everything. And it will sound really good, because with whatever he's saying, if you look in the mirror, you'll say, I see all those things. I am a sinner and I'm not really good at anything God's calling me to do. That's why you're not called to look in a mirror. You're called to look at the glory of God, the one who called you, who says, even though you're not, I can make you what you need to be. Amen? And that's what he's telling us. You need to trust his authority and power by laying down your resources before him. Say, God, everything I have is yours. Use whatever you want, however you want to use it. And God, thank you for making me just the way I am. And thank you for choosing to use me just the way I am. You don't want to spend your life trying to change who you are, trying to change your personality, or trying to change anything else. God made you just the way you are because that's the way he wanted you to be. Do not apologize ever for who you are, your nationality, your color of skin, your gender, whoever you are. That's what God wanted you to be. Just be the best of that for him. Amen? That's who you are. And then he says this, responding to God's call not only involves trusting his authority and power and his belief that he's chosen and selected you, but responding to God's call requires trusting in his demands for obedience in all areas of your life. The way that God works out his call is through his demands for obedience in all areas of your life. God wants you to be obedient to everything that he's shown you. He did not write this book just for you to look at and say, oh, that's pretty good, but I'll never accomplish anything there. He wrote this book so that you would submit to the authority of it and become what this book wants you to be. Not perfectly, but increasingly. So notice what Moses does in verse 18. He goes to his father-in-law. And Moses departed and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, there's that word again, go. Go in peace. Who's he go to first? He goes to his family. When you have the call of God on your life, it requires you to go public with the call of God. The first group he goes to is who? His family. That's one of the most difficult groups of people to go to. Do you know why? Because they know everything about you. And they know all the reasons why you're unqualified to do the very thing that you're telling them God called you to do. Like, who do you think you are? Where does he go first? He goes to his father-in-law. He says, this is what God's calling me to do. I need to take my wife, your daughter, and our two boys. We got to go back to Egypt. And what's Jethro say? Go. Here's what I find. If you're obedient to what God says, he'll open the door. Even from people that can't fully see what you're supposed to be. He'll open the door. All you're called to do is be obedient. So he goes public to his family. And then notice what happens in verse 19. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, there's that word again, go. Go back to Egypt for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. Isn't it cool to know that God designs the timing? I mean, if Moses goes back any earlier, he's in this pickle because he killed a man, right? People were upset with him. People were still upset with him years and decades later because he killed someone and took innocent blood. God tells him, you can go back now. That's those people that were looking to take your life, they're gone. You won't have to worry about that ever again. Now's the time. How long did he have to wait? 40 years? 40 years? He's going to be 80 when he's going back. So God tells him, this is what it's going to be. So Moses, verse 20, took his wife and his sons and mounted them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took what? The staff of God in his hand. That same staff he'd been carrying around for 40 years that wasn't doing anything. Now it's the staff of God. It's the empowered tool and witness of the Lord. He takes that with him. And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before the Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. He says this, when you go to Pharaoh, make sure that you tell him everything I've told you and you do everything that I've showed you. He doesn't say, do some of it. He doesn't say, go back to Pharaoh and say, hey, listen, God showed me some things and I need you to let the Israelites go. He said, you show them everything. Do not hold back. Show them the whole counsel of God, everything that I put on your heart to do. And when you do, I'm gonna harden his heart. Now we'll talk about Pharaoh's hardness of heart over time, because for Pharaoh and the Egyptians at that time, much like many of us, we think that hardening our heart towards God is a good thing. Like, I don't need that Christian crutch. I don't need to be a weak person. I'll make it through life on my own. We do that today, just like Pharaoh's gonna do in front of God. So here's what God says to Moses. You tell him and show him everything. What does that mean? Give him the whole counsel of God. We don't like to do that. Like when it comes to the gospel, we like to tell people this, that Jesus Christ is God's one and only son who died on the cross for your sins. And through repentance and faith, you can be saved and saved to the full and have everlasting life with God. And that is 100% true. But the whole counsel of God would also teach that if you refuse to repent and believe that Jesus is the Christ alone, you will meet him one day and you will hear these words, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you, and you will be cast into an eternal hell forever and ever, amen. And some people have hard hearts and say, well, why would a loving God do something like that? The bigger question is, how could a holy God let you into his kingdom? And he hates sin enough that he slayed his own son. What makes you think you're gonna get away with your sin? And there's some people that play games with God because they think that Christianity is just something to think about every now and again. When I'm talking to you about the claims of Jesus Christ, you will think about for the rest of your eternity. Are you saved? Have you repented and believed that Jesus is the Christ? Have you made him the Lord of your life? That becomes the question. He says, when you go to Pharaoh, tell him everything. Don't hold back. When God commissioned Jeremiah, he told him, hey, you go to your own people and you call them to repentance. And if you tell them everything, then their blood's on their own heads. But if you do not, then their blood is on your head. What are pastors called to do? Preachers called to do? Preach the whole counsel of God. If people refuse to repent and believe, that's people's problem. If you don't tell them, then that's your problem. All right? So when you come to Brave, I'm gonna preach the whole counsel of God. Do you know why? Because I'm way more afraid of Jesus than I am of you. And I care way more about what he thinks of me than I care about you. And I love you enough to tell you that. because God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everybody to come to a knowledge of him. I'm not telling you this because God hates you. I'm telling you this because God loves you and God wants to be in relationship with you. And anybody that comes to him, he'll never turn away. So come to Jesus. That's the point of the message. He says to go to Pharaoh, tell him everything, and I'm gonna harden his heart. He goes, then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me, but you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. So how would you like going back and telling the king of Egypt that? I've met with God. He views Israel as his own son. You let them go now. We're going out for a 3-day journey to worship. If you don't, God loves his son so much that if you don't let them go, he'll kill your son. That's the message Moses is supposed to say. And if I were Moses, I'd be like, that's kind of harsh, but it's true. And God says, you got to tell him everything. There's no way that you can take shortcuts in obedience. You have to do everything that the Lord put in your heart. You have to do it all. Not just some of it, but all of it. You can't say, well, I'm being obedient in this area, in this area, in this area, but this area here, this is a big area. Give me a break, Lord. No, God wants to grow you in that area too. In every area of your life, God is constantly trying to grow you in holiness. He's always trying to grow you in a way that lets people see that he's really the Lord of your life. Not perfectly, as I've said, but increasingly. Now, let's look at verses 24, 25, and 26. I've spent a lot of time on these verses. See what you think. They're on their way to Egypt, and it says this. Now, it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah, who is his wife, took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and threw it at Moses' feet. And she said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. So he let him alone. At that time, she said, you are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. And all God's people said, what? Like, what in the world is that doing there? I mean, it's the weirdest place for this. I mean, I studied it all week. I've heard all this. And it's interesting because in the text, the word Moses is not mentioned. Some of you that use the NIV or other dynamic equivalent versions, they're inserting the word Moses there, that God was gonna kill Moses. The text doesn't say that. He could have been trying to kill Moses, but I think it's even better to take it this way. We've just been talking about God's son. Who's God's son? It's Israel. We've been talking about the Pharaoh's son, his firstborn. What's he talking about now? He's talking about Moses' son. What was the problem? God established the covenant of circumcision in Genesis chapter 17. And Moses apparently had not made sure that his son was circumcised. And God is saying this, just because you're in ministry, there's no hall pass for disobedience. I've called you to a blood covenant. If you don't circumcise your son, I will kill him. That's why you see the mom getting all upset. Zipporah's like, fine, I'll circumcise him myself. I didn't want to circumcise him. It's painful for my boy. I didn't want to put him through that. And it's because of you. You're the bridegroom. You made me do this to my son. And she throws it at him. Right? Can you see this? I mean, I've studied more than I want to talk about this morning, to be honest with you. But the point of it is whether Moses was going to be killed or Gershom, his firstborn son, was gonna be killed, doesn't matter, the same rules apply. God was so serious about his blood covenant. Even when they're gonna paint blood on the doorposts here in a few chapters, it was blood covenant. When Jesus Christ comes into the world, what is it? It's the blood covenant. God is not shortchanging his holiness to accommodate your disobedience. He's not gonna do that. And that's what we see here. We see Moses being responsible as the man of his house to bring the covenant there, and that holiness is important. I remember reading a book on ordained ministry some 20, 30 years ago, and the one chapter I did not like was that your life was gonna be a fishbowl for other people to see. I remember thinking, yeah, I don't like that. I don't want people knowing what I'm doing. My life's my life. What I found over time is that's not just a book on ordained ministry. It's for any Christian. Your life should be transparent.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Responding to God's Call. Exploring lessons from Moses about laying down your resources for God's purposes. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.